Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha and welcome to the Christian Recovery Radio with Dick B. Show. I'm your host, Dick B.'s son, Ken. My dad, Dick B., is executive director of the International Christian Recovery Coalition. The coalition's mission is to help Christian leaders and workers in the recovery arena substantially enhance their effectiveness by including in their recovery work the roles played by God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Bible in early AA's astonishing successes. You may learn more about the International Christian Recovery Coalition at its website, www.christianrecoverycoalition.com. Dick B. has written more than 45 titles and more than 1,750 articles on AA history and the Christian recovery movement. His main website is at www.dickb.com. The Christian Recovery Radio with Dick B. shows are archived at www.christianrecoveryradio.com. And now, here is my dad, Dick B.
Hi, this is Dick B. in Maui, Hawaii. And I just came out of the hospital and have been shopping to get on a show with my son where we could cover some very, very basic ideas that have been mulling over in our minds, and we're shortly going to have a mini council where we chew these things over specifically and see how they can be used. What I want to cover is about 10 points. And the first two have to do with what does a newcomer in AA encounter when he's in prison, when he's been placed there by a judge's order, when he's in rehab and he's there because, again, he perhaps was put there by order, or he came there because an intervention or some such thing forced him in there. And so he isn't necessarily a willing customer. And the question is, will he stay? And the answer is, usually not. And when you talk to a family member, they'll say, can you help me with my son in prison? My first question is, does he want to get out? Does he want to quit? And the answer usually is no. And if that's his position, that's somebody that is not yet ready to go through what's necessary to get well. Now, the first aspect of working with this newcomer and getting him oriented is what I call qualification. And that is, that person has to place in his own mind very firmly that he is an alcoholic or is a drug addict. Now, how does he do that? Well, AA and NA are amateur outfits run by amateurs, and so nobody has a manual for it. But what he does is he tells the story of his drinking or his drug use and begins to unveil the burglaries that he's committed or the thefts from his mother's purse or whatever motorcycle accidents he's been in and so forth. And that's about as far as you can get with him, but at least he's invited to make himself aware that alcohol or drugs were at the bottom of the disaster, whether it's jail, rehab, or an accident, or something of that nature. So if he is to find out whether he's an alcoholic or an addict, my technique one-on-one has always been to say, tell me your story. And he usually is incredibly honest and will tell most of the details of his drinking or using life. So that's the first aspect. The other one is kind of a fun thing called The 20 Questions. For years, out of Johns Hopkins University, came a group of 20 questions, which basically said, do you drink in the morning? Did you lose a job because of alcohol? And when you go through that with the candidate and make it clear that you yourself encountered the same thing, he usually starts smiling or laughing and saying, yeah, I did that. And so in that simple way, it's a very effective way of convincing him that he's in a place which is serious about quitting drinking and alcohol because of the trouble it has got him in. The second thing is very strange, and it doesn't happen today. Hospitalization was a must in early AA. People don't know that, and yet that was an absolute requirement, both in Akron and in Cleveland. And many times, members paid for the man's hospitalization, and there was a good reason for it. The first was that the man needed to be sedated in order not to get into DTs or seizures. And so he was put in the hospital and sedated. And then, this is something that people only found out recently, Dr. Bob in Akron would come down to Akron City Hospital and spend 6 or 7 hours at least each day visiting with the new person. What did he do? I don't think very many AAs knew this until it came out in an article that we now have recorded and published. Dr. Bob would go down there and pray with that man and read the Bible with him and keep it up. And I don't need to go into the details, but that's what he was getting from Dr. Bob. Then the members would come in, and in their own way, they would tell him a smidgen of their own story. And with that, his time was up in the hospital, and he was told by Dr. Bob to get down on his knees and pray. And he did. And what he did, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was discharged, went to usually the first meeting, was given a Bible, and told to go out and help people. So hospitalization was a process, and it just isn't seen today, not in the sense that I just described. Similarly, qualification, if it's not carried out by somebody who knows how to question the newcomer isn't going to know why he's there or what he's supposed to do. Now, what happened is that years after AA was founded, 12 steps were adopted. That's years, not days or months. Years. And what really happened is what we discovered in our investigations in New England. We found out that both Dr. Bob and Bill came from families that were staunch congregationalists, Christians, maybe deacons and officials in their churches, taught their kids about the Word and salvation. The kids went to Sunday school, and then they usually went to a congregational academy. And at that academy, Bob went to one at St. Rosebury, Bill went to one at Manchester, and at those academies, they listened to a sermon each day. They listened to the reading of Scripture each day. They engaged in a prayer session each day, and they sang hymns. And there was more to it, but that was every single day these men were students. And Bill Wilson actually took a 4-year Bible study course. So the rumor has circulated by people who never went to New England and got the facts that Bill didn't have any religious education. and that's just plain baloney, because Bill was steeped in it as a kid, and he wound up being president of the school YMCA. Now, what happened then? There's a wonderful story about how the first three men got sober, bringing with them, in Bill and Bob's case, what they learned about how to operate a Christian fellowship in their new setting. But before that, there was a very simple process. Each one of them had a Christian background, a Bible background. Each one of them believed in God. Each one of them turned to God for help. And each one of them was cured. And after that, they were told to go out and help somebody. That's how simple the program was. Now, what did the early program consist of? You need to look at page 131 of AA's book, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, because there a Rockefeller agent came out and investigated AA by interviewing doctors, family, and judges, and getting as many facts as he could, and he summarized what the original program was. Here are the 7 points, and for heaven's sakes, get them in your mind because they aren't happening today. Number one, the alcoholic was required to say, I'm quitting for good. I'm never going to drink again. And that was reinforced by the program, by the fellowship, and by what he was reading and hearing. And so that was the first requirement. If he wasn't ready to quit, they didn't want to work with him yet. He wasn't ready. The second thing was absolutely essential. He had to surrender his life to God. The third aspect was that he had to agree to try to obey God's will. Now, in AA, very often there's a lot of chatter about self-will and what is God's will and all of that. And the answer is they studied the Bible to find out what God's will was, or they prayed and asked for guidance. And they were supposed to live up to what God told them to do. The next thing was perfecting that process by studying the Bible, having a prayer session, and a quiet time. And the last aspect was helping somebody. The essence of early AA was helping somebody else, and it's not happening today, in my observation, after about 29 years of working and speaking and sponsoring people. It's just not happening that people are reaching out and helping somebody else. And yet that was a cardinal requirement of early AA. You helped somebody and became so involved in their problems as well as yours and in their recovery that it worked. And then there were two other aspects that were optional. One was comradeship and fellowship with other people in the program. This is a hangover from first century Christianity, where fellowship among like-minded believers was the essence of how they hung together and passed on their principles. And the last one was, it's optional, but you're to go to one church service a week. Now that's it. That's the program. 7 points, 5 required, and they were lived up to, or they weren't in the program anymore. And you've heard the program. And the point today is, where do you find it? You don't. And we're fortunate enough to speak at Betty Ford Institute by invitation. And then we had a conference where one of their fine representatives was at the conference, and he heard the speakers talking about what I just talked about. And he said, I better get acquainted with that pamphlet that explains what they did at the beginning. And the answer is, yeah, So as we go around the country, we've urged people to go to their central offices and get as many of the pamphlet P53. It's called The Co-Founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, Biographical Sketches, Their Last Major Talks. And there you'll find Bob and Bill telling it like it was, telling it in their own words. There are even recordings of Dr. Bob telling his points. And they make all of this clear. One of the things that most AAs don't know is that early AAs were required to study the Book of James and the Bible, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and 1 Corinthians 13. And if you are not acquainted with those books in the Bible, you're not acquainted with what they were studying at the beginning. And those books contain information that found its way into the steps, found its way into the program. I'm going to turn this program back to my son, Ken.
You may learn more about the International Christian Recovery Coalition at its website, www.christianrecoveryradio.com. Dick B's main website, focusing on AA history and the Christian recovery movement, is at www.dickb.com. The Christian Recovery Radio with Dick B shows are archived at www.christianrecoveryradio.com. Thank you very much for joining us. Until next time.